This is Sharon Wolf bringing you the ninth installment of our ongoing series related to Alzheimer's, elder abuse, and the treatment of vulnerable adults in the Humboldt County Courthouse. The segments are available on SoundCloud or at theriodeltimes.com, along with my notated copies of the public records from the conservatorship case that I filed for my mom, Barbara, who has Alzheimer's. June is Elder Abuse Awareness Month. Approximately 1 in 10 Americans aged 60 and older have experienced some form of elder abuse. If you live in Humboldt County and are a victim of abuse or know of someone who needs help, call Adult Protective Services at 707-476-2100. The Elder Abuse Awareness Conference, recently hosted by the Area 1 Agency on Aging, included a presentation by District Attorney Maggie Fleming on the local Elder and Vulnerable Adult Services Team, or EVAST. The goals of EVAST include addressing increasing incidents of financial abuse in Humboldt County, as well as enhance the prosecution of abuse cases. The district attorney's office is aware of the circumstances involved in my mom and stepdad Ron's conservatorship case regarding the civil rights abuses at the hands of the court that never appointed counsel, as well as look the other way over elder financial fraud allegations. The question is, what will they do with that information, considering the involvement of prominent local attorney Chris Johnson Hamer, who is a senior partner with Stokes, Hamer, Kirk, and Eads out of Arcata? The documentation that I used for the allegation of elder financial fraud came directly from the court filings that Attorney Hamer submitted under penalty of perjury for her client, the previously unknown nephew of Mom's fifth husband. Although he should know that he holds full legal liability for the actions of his attorney since he signed those documents that were submitted. We will bring back updates on any progress. The lack of basic civil rights in the Humboldt County Courthouse for vulnerable adults has got to be addressed at some point. The vast expansion of conservatorships that the state is pushing will only compound the existing problem if it isn't resolved first. There was another court hearing for my mom and Ron recently. This one was scheduled months ago since it was a routine reassessment of the conservatorship that the court gave to the previously unknown nephew of Mom's fifth husband. A third-party court investigator interviews the involved parties and then issues a report to the court on whether or not a conservator is acting in the best interests of the individual. The court investigator couldn't determine if the conservator was acting in the best interests of Mom or not, because they didn't have any of the usual financial documentation that you would need to assess. The court investigator interviewed the conservator, my mom, the facility representative, and myself in order to write her report. But unfortunately, she only documented what was said and never asked a follow-up question or asked for any proof of anything. In any case, that report also said that my mom had broken her wrist in the care facility. It was the first that anyone in Mom's family had heard about it, since the conservator refuses to allow any information be shared with the family. The report gave three different stories about what happened, but they all said variations of Mom slipped in the shower and injured herself. The conservator said that Mom was now a patient at Kaiser and receiving excellent care, but he never had to provide any proof of that. Mom's medical providers up here in Humboldt have never received a request for medical history records from anyone, for either Mom or Ron, even though they have been down south for 11 months now. The conservator would have had to switch their Medicare insurance from straight Medicare to Medicare Advantage in order to sign them up as patients with Kaiser, but there's no evidence that that was done either. So we don't know whether or not Mom has a doctor that's monitoring her broken wrist and making sure it's healing correctly. The facility, The Pines, a Merrill Gardens community in Rockland, also never notified Community Care Licensing about the injury, even though they are mandated to report it within 7 days. It is standard reporting for any resident who suffers a serious injury in a regulated facility. According to the long-term care ombudsman who recently visited Mom, she has a bright pink cast from her wrist up past her elbow. The facility staff that spoke to her didn't have any information on how Mom was injured, apparently. Mom said she was attacked by a taxi driver when she was asked. I don't know where that came from, but it concerns me that Mom didn't complain about falling in the shower and hurting herself, since I know how much she hates showers in the first place. She's a bath person, and has repeatedly complained about not having her routine evening bath available to her anymore now that she's in that facility. But I honestly don't know what happened, which is the problem. None of Mom's family knows what happened, and the conservator refuses to provide information or allow the facility to provide information. Of course, that violates Mom's civil rights again, but so far, no one cares about the civil rights of vulnerable adults. We're working hard to change that. Back to that recent hearing. Unfortunately, it wasn't before the same traveling judge as the last hearing who had finally assigned the public defenders to represent Mom and Ron. It was before Judge Killerin, and thank goodness I decided to attend in person, even though the probate court hearings are currently hybrid and they encourage remote appearance. Members of Mom's family have attended every hearing to date via Zoom in order to support Mom and my petition for conservatorship. For whatever reason, this time, the court never allowed a single member of Mom's family into the hearing on Zoom. They all saw a box saying to wait to be admitted, which is common when you're logging into a Zoom meeting, but then the court never admitted any of them from four different locations around the state. My husband was blocked from attending the hearing from our house, which means that if I had chosen to attend online, then I would have also been blocked from being able to participate. For those who haven't been initiated into the world of Zoom, when you log in from your account, it shows your name to the meeting host, who then clicks to allow you to enter the meeting. I called the court clerk's office after the hearing to inquire about their process. She said that both the judge and the court clerk sitting next to them are co-hosts for the meeting and can see who is attending and who is waiting to be admitted. Considering all that has happened in this case so far, there is certainly nothing strange about any of this, right? The hearing was continued for 30 days at the request of public defender Jason Sheets, who only recently received the very large case file for Mom and Ron. He asked for time to review the case file. Mr. Sheets had let me know before the hearing that he was going to ask for a continuance, and I understand why, since he's new to the case. But the fact that he is new to the case months after the court had already granted a permanent order for conservatorship, despite the blatantly fraudulent paperwork that had been submitted, seems like it should, hopefully, rise to the top 10% or so of Mr. Sheets' workload. To be clear, there was only one public defender who was assigned to represent vulnerable adults in conservatorship matters. Mr. Sheets currently represents approximately 158 Landerman Petrus Short conservatees, known as LPS, and 58 probate conservatorships. That is 216 open cases for the single public defender in the office who's assigned to these very vulnerable individuals. No matter how diligent a person might be, a caseload of 216 for a single attorney is simply too much when you're considering the vulnerability of the population and their risk for being victimized. The sheer volume of paperwork that the court requires makes fraud much more likely to go unnoticed. I was able to immediately see the blatant fraud in the altered judicial counsel forms that were submitted by Attorney Hamer because I am deeply invested in these two cases. I took the time to actually look, rather than just file down the papers as if they were legitimate. How many others like these have been overlooked by the court? And how many more will there be if the court continues to willfully turn a blind eye? So again, June is Elder Abuse Awareness Month, and it needs to be more than just a slogan. Unless you have other plans, we're all going to be elders at some point. So how do you want to be treated in the local court system? And how do you want your mom and dad to be treated? Is any of this okay with you? I'll keep you posted after our next hearing in July, and it'll be interesting to see if the court allows Mom's family members to attend or if they get blocked again. In the meantime, we're still trying to get information on Mom's broken arm and whether or not she's getting medical care. Judge Killerin is allowing them to sell the house in Fortuna before the continued hearing, despite the court investigator documenting that they can't tell if the conservator is acting in Mom's best financial interests. But again, the Humboldt County Superior Court simply doesn't care. It's just a rubber stamp for cronies, and you can only hope that your loved ones aren't in their sights. That is no way for county residents to live, but here we are. And quite frankly, it's those who have turned a blind eye to the cronyism that controls access to justice around here who have allowed it to get to this point. Attorney Hamer submitted blatantly fraudulent paperwork because she knew she could. The other attorneys and judges who work in the small county know exactly what's going on, but they all play along to get along in that courthouse, and they are all complicit. Thank you for listening, and please be sure to check out the other segments from this series and the notated public records posted at theriodeltimes.com. This has been Sharon Wolf reporting.